Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 1. I feel like I have an important Bible study for us this morning, an important Sunday school lesson, as some people call it. Very important. We've been going through 1 Timothy on Wednesday nights, mainly. We've had a few messages from here. We're going to look at verses 3 and 4 today. Let's begin reading in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Paul said, Timothy, as I urged you to do this, do this. That's what he said. Timothy was the first pastor of the church at Ephesus. First pastor to the Ephesians. And he was traveling with Paul. And when Paul went into Macedonia, he asked Timothy to stay at Ephesus for the purpose of preaching and instructing the brethren there in the one and only true doctrine that there is, the one and only true gospel that there is. He said, don't give heed to fables or endless genealogies. And he said, here's the reason why. They only bring confusing questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. Verse 3, he said, I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. He said, Timothy, don't give heed to fables. That means don't give any attention to. That's what heed means. Don't give any attention to. Don't spend your precious time setting forth, trying to expose fables. A fable is a lie. That's what a fable is. It's a fictional story, a story that's not true. That's what false religion is. That is what false religion is. False religion takes place when a man stands up in a pulpit and tells men and women things that are not true. That's what false religion is. Men stand up and tell things that are not true. And there really is something for us to learn in this. Whether we are preaching or listening to the gospel, it doesn't matter, either way. Preaching or listening to the gospel, this is something we really ought to get a hold of when it comes to the declaration of the gospel. We do not need to spend our precious time focusing on the lies of false religion. Obviously, if we're listening to a man preach lies, then we don't need to give any heed to that. Get out. I can't tell you how many times I have heard people say, I attend here, and no, they don't exactly preach the truth, but, you know, it's convenient. I've always gone there. My family goes there. I like it there. There's a little bit of truth in it, so I just get that. I throw the rest away. No, sir. Get out. Get out. Don't give heed to it. Do not give heed to it. Do not listen to error. It will only harm you. Sometimes we believers, I've done it too, we will pull up on TV, sermon audio, whatever it may be, error, and we'll listen to it so we can go, see, you hear that? That's wrong. That will not profit you. That may harm you. Don't do it. Just don't do it. As soon as you realize this is lies, don't give heed to it. But the thing about this is, Paul is talking about the context of preaching the truth. He's talking to Timothy, instructing those in the truth. And he said, we don't need to give our heed, we don't need to give our time and our attention to fables. There's a saying that has been passed down through the generations concerning preaching. True preaching. And the saying goes like this. You don't have to spend your time exposing the crooked stick. Just lay down the straight stick right next to it, and the crooked stick will be exposed. Does that make sense? That's something I need to remember. And all of us who preach and all of us who hear, that means everybody here. That's something we all need to remember. We're not called to give our heed to fables. I need to remember that. For the good of God's sheep and for the good of myself, we're not called to give ourselves to fables. We're called to give ourselves to truth. Let's focus on the truth and put all our emphasis on the truth. This truth, truth, truth. I heard one time that the way banks teach their tellers to spot counterfeit money is they only let them handle real money. As soon as it doesn't feel like real money, they know that's counterfeit. Let's focus on the truth. As we preach the truth of Christ clearly, the lies on Christ will be exposed. They will be exposed. If we're not careful, it's possible for us to spend all of our time preaching against the lies on Christ. This is possible. I've heard it, and I fear I've done it. But it is possible. And in preaching against these lies, we're telling people the truth. We are. But may God let us understand what this means. It is possible to spend all of our time preaching against the lies on Christ and never get around to preaching the truth on Christ. Just preaching against. Can you believe that? And can you believe that? And can you believe? We need to hear the truth about Christ. That's what feeds God's people and lifts up God's people and edifies God's people. Lies are exposed in the preaching of the gospel. They just are. We're exposing error all the time, but we just need to make sure that that's not the only thing we're exposing. We need to expose Christ, the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must set Him forth. We just must. It would be a crying shame for us to stand up here for 30 minutes whipping goats. Do we know, we understand what our Lord referred to those who are not His people, unbelievers who are not His people, as goats. And He referred to those who are His people, believers, as sheep. And it would be a crying shame for us to spend our precious time whipping goats and not ever getting around to feeding sheep. Our Lord, whenever He asked Peter, He said, "Do you love me?" And Peter said, "Yea, Lord, I do." You know, He asked him three times and it convicted Peter, but Peter said, "I do." The Lord didn't say to him, "Then Peter, go whip goats. He didn't say that. He said, you go feed my sheep. You go feed them. You make sure you go out and preach the one thing that will feed their souls. What he was saying was, teach no other doctrine. That's what he was saying. Teach no other doctrine. Verse 4. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies. Generations, events, times, seasons that men get so hung up on sometimes. He said they just minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. Do not get hung up on these things, he said. They're insignificant things. And they only distract from godly edifying in faith. Godly edifying in faith is when the preaching points men and women to Christ. That's what godly edifying in faith is. If you hear a man preach, and come the end of the message, you walk away with nothing but confusion and questions, something's wrong. Now, I'm not saying that a person has never heard the truth and the Lord doesn't bring confusion and questions to them. But that's different. That's because they clearly understand what was being said. I'm talking about if you listen to a man and you don't have any idea what this man's talking about, something's wrong. I find that when men do not know what they're talking about in any subject, especially in preaching, I find that when men do not know what they're talking about, they become masters at confusing people. This is what I have found. They will, you know, this is what we ought to be focusing on, but what they'll do is they'll bring everybody's attention over here, and they'll say, now, if you want to get to this, you're going to have to start over here, and we're going to have to talk about this for a minute, but you're never going to understand this until we get to know something about this over here. And they get people so confused and running around in circles. They'll say words and things that make you think they know what they're talking about, but what they're doing is they're trying to convince you that whatever it is they're talking about is so deep, it's going to take you a while to catch on and catch up to their knowledge. There's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with that. The only knowledge that we need to know takes no time to grasp. Christ. 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 People come, hopefully, with questions, eternal questions. People come, hopefully, searching for the one thing needful for life after this earth, eternal life. They come wanting to know, what's the answer? Because you all are saying it's baptism, and you all are saying it's tongues, and you all are saying it's whatever. And what is it? Christ. How's this going to happen? People see themselves and they go, how is this going to happen? Christ. How can a sinful man be justified before a holy God? Christ. Where's my assurance? Christ. Where's my wisdom? Where's my righteousness? Where's my sanctification? Where's my redemption? Christ. Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Christ. That's it. That's godly edifying, which is in faith. That's the declaration that points men to Christ and lifts up Christ and lifts men up to Christ. Christ. Paul said, Timothy, when you get to Ephesus, you only preach one thing. If men and women are having marital trouble, what do they need? Christ. Financial trouble, what do you need? Christ. Whatever the problem is, Christ. preach Christ, preach Christ, preach Christ. He said, you only preach one thing. And he said, you charge the brethren there who teach, and the brethren who hear, and the brethren who believe, to look to one thing, Christ. Teach no other doctrine. And this is important. This is really important. I would love for us to really get a hold of this. I think you'll find a nice simplicity in this. He did not say, Timothy, teach no other doctrines. There is only one true doctrine. He said, teach no other doctrine. There's only one true doctrine. I do not have a problem at all. I want to make it very clear that I don't have a problem at all with the phrase, the doctrines of grace. Most everyone here has heard that phrase. People have been using that term for centuries now to describe the truth regarding God and the truth regarding man and the truth regarding salvation, the doctrines of grace. I don't have a problem with that phrase. I don't really have a problem with that term. As long as we understand that that term is not in the Bible. That's not a scriptural term. That is a man-made term. And in the scripture, every time the word doctrines, plural, is used, it is always in reference to false religion. Always. Always in reference to man's error, man's made-up teaching, man's fables, always. Every time the word is used in reference to the truth, it's singular, doctrine. Paul said, teach no other doctrine. I want to show you that. I want you to see that with your own two eyes. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. First Timothy 4, verse 1. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Doctrine means teaching, it means words. That's what it means. And he said, be careful of the teaching of this kind and the teaching of that kind. Doctrines. Well, you have all of these doctrines. Hebrews 13 calls them divers and strange doctrines. Different doctrines. Look with me at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2, verse 20 says, wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which people say that all the time. You better touch not, you better taste not, you better handle not. He said, why are you subject to that? Verse 22, which are all to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. He said men made that teaching up, not God. Look with me at Mark chapter 7. Verse 5, Mark 7, verse 5 says, then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders? And that's how false religion walks, just according to the tradition of the elders. He said, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? He answered and said unto them, Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, the false, wrong fables of men. He said, that's their doctrines. Every time the word is used in a plural way, it's in a negative way, referring to error and lies. This is how the scripture refers to true doctrine. All right, let me show you a couple here that refer to true doctrine. Turn to Acts 13. Acts 13, verse 12. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. The doctrine of the Lord. Look at Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Verse 10 says, Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. The doctrine of God our Savior. Who is that? That's the same person as the Lord. The doctrine of the Lord. The doctrine of God our Savior. To put it plainly, go with me to 2 John, just before Revelation. 2 John. There's one chapter in 2 John. Verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him God speed. This doctrine, the doctrine of Christ. There's only one. There's only one. There's only one thing to preach, one thing to teach, one thing to know. Christ. The Lord. God our Savior. Paul said, I have determined. And I love that. That means I've made the conscious decision. I've thought about it. I've prayed about it. And the Lord has just settled my heart on this. I have determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. His life, His death, His body, His blood, His willingness, His accomplishment, His success, His mercy, His grace, His compassion, His forgiveness, His everything, His right, His sovereignty, His glory, His honor, His praise. The common denominator in all that is Him. Him. Paul said, Timothy, that's our doctrine. If you want to get right down to it, what's our doctrine? Y'all are sovereign grace. What's your doctrine? Christ. Jesus Christ. This is what Paul said. We preach Christ. We preach the person and the work and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are there 5 points involved? Sure there are. We are totally depraved sinners. Therefore, God the Father had to unconditionally elect us. We are totally depraved sinners. It had to be an unconditional election. And Christ particularly redeemed all of the souls the Father elected because they're one. They're not two. They're not going to go against each other. And God the Spirit is one with them and is going to call every one of them. Christ didn't do anything in vain. Christ wouldn't redeem someone and the Spirit say, we'll just leave that one there. There's no possible way God's people are not going to make it to glory. Absolutely. Are there three R's involved in what we preach? Yes. Man was ruined by the fall, redeemed by the blood, regenerated by the Spirit. God's people were all of those things, but here's the thing about it. When you get right down to it, we preach Christ. We preach a person. We're not preaching doctrines, and we're not preaching opinions. It's not about John Gill, John Calvin, or John the Baptist. It's about Jesus Christ. I love all three of those men. It's not about them. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is possible, and I know I got to stop and I'm done. But it is possible. We have to know this. It is possible to get a hold of some points of doctrine and still miss Christ. A man can grab hold of election so hard he misses Christ because he's so focused on election, he just isn't even looking to Jesus Christ. It's possible. Getting a hold of election is not salvation. Jesus Christ getting a hold of me is salvation. He's our doctrine. By His grace, we won't get sidetracked on anything else. By His grace, by His doing, we won't get sidetracked on fables, endless genealogies. When all that comes in, we're going to say, nope, we're determined. By God's grace, He has determined us to teach no other doctrine. Him, Him alone, He's our doctrine. And that's, if we can get a hold of that, hopefully we'll walk out with a very clear understanding of what the point of this was. Christ is our doctrine. Okay, you're dismissed.